Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up!
I'll introduce you.
Yeah, go on in. Yeah, you're a captain, you?
I am, of this ship. We thought we'd do a little bit like a coffee break catch-up again.
Yeah.
We haven't done one for a while. It's something we try and encourage people to do as well. Just instead of talking on the phone, instead of messaging, meet someone, sit down, have a chat, have a catch-up. We say a coffee catch-up. We are in a local hostelry
at the moment.
Yeah. You're very communicative today.
You're doing a very good job as if we've finished.
So this is our challenge. We'll check in at the next pod.
Yeah.
But it's just seeing how are things,
great,
you know.
Great tunes in the background.
It is good tunes in the background.
Well, yeah. Right now it's really good because I've got a pint of beer.
You know,
sat with my mate.
Who's that?
He's over there. He's just gone to the bar to get a shot.
Definitely. Gun.
I think it's a bit of practice while we preach, isn't it,
as
well. So, mindful coffees. Funny enough, I've, on my work travels, talked about that a lot this week. And how many people love the idea? I mean, you introduced it really early, didn't you, in the pods?
I think that was like my first challenge.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Sitting and have a mindful coffee.
Yeah.
And I do it regularly now. And I found, like, if I'm going to meet somewhere, I try and get to a coffee shop, like, about half an hour before I start.
Mm-hmm.
I just sit.
Yeah.
And weirdly, in Reading this week, we're not going to do challenges today, but I did my challenge in a bar in Reading recently.
Nice.
Which is good, so people can hold their breath on...
Yeah.
What was it called?
Don't hold it too long, though.
Okay,
it might be a while. Ethnography.
That was it. But just
sitting and observing and just... It's just pausing. Like, the same, you know, like you said, you know, my challenge is the same. It's just that... There's one moment I will talk about where it was just pausing. Just everything stopped. It was like the world stopped.
Yeah.
There was nothing else apart from me there. And
it
was just something else, definitely. But also, you know, I think it's touching on the news, you know, almost following on from our last podcast...
Yeah.
We did have some feedback, but also Sinead O'Connor,
yeah. I think really sad. And I think it was the end of the Craig Charles show on Six Music, and he always does like a curtain closer song.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, he normally gets people to text in to pick a song. He said, I'm picking it today, we are going to do it for Sinead, and he played Troy by Sinead O'Connor, which is a fantastic song. She had nothing compares to you is what everyone knows. But she did such a bigger wealth of work as well. But she was more than that.
Yeah.
She stood up for what she believed in. And you just said, falling off the back of... she divided opinion.
Yes, definitely.
She wasn't scared. I saw a post from another artist, Beth... I'll think of the name now.
Mm.
Lead singer of the Savages originally, but she's... solo artist now, but she was saying she was brave when other people weren't.
Mm.
You know, she when everyone chose silence, she spoke up and she got ridiculed.
Yeah.
One of the phrases that's to the effect of, she got ridiculed for being herself.
Yeah,
Morrissey came out and this was
another polarizing character.
Craig Charles said, I don't always agree with what Morrissey says. He said, right, he kind of hits the nail on the head with this. I haven't got the full quote, but it's like, everyone's surprised at the passing of Sinead O'Connor. I'm not. We've got history of this. And he named like Marilyn Monroe, Billie Holiday, and all other people we've lost who had pressure applied to them, who either left because they chose to leave or because they were...
I mean, essentially, it's insinuating the stress... You know, and the stress levels, and actually, you know, it can happen biologically with stress levels. You're always like, no, I can't do it anymore. But also, the impact mentally, you know, on people deciding, no, I can't do it anymore. And not having the support or the right support around them and things. And yeah, you know, again, we say it quite a few times, but maybe another one to cover at some point. You know, touch on even just her image as well.
Yeah, very striking.
Like very, very striking image. Yeah. Yeah. And I think. Another bit of feedback from the podcast, so naturally from Des, he did tell me he has a few more facts he's going to share about different things, so he's going to take a photo.
We need a Des special.
I don't know whether we do.
Des, I'm inviting you to do a Des special.
So he said he's got a magazine, he's taking some photos about different stuff, He tested me on some facts, which I got right about Lydney, so I was good. Happy with that. But yes, we also talked about, so when he used to work in London with my, so it'd been my great-great-grandfather, he used to drive him down a few times. And it was during that, you know, during the time when there was the issues going on in Northern Ireland. And he was saying, like, one time they turned the corner and they ended up, the street was normal, but then it got narrower and narrower, and then they were stopped by British police.
Yeah.
Just check the car.
Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah. Who are yeah. you? Where are you
yeah,
coming
exactly.
from?
And it is like, there's a lot of people, you know, as we said, who've lived through, you know, and who've experienced it a lot. Then on a lighter note, obviously your parents shared us Steven Seagal.
Just change the tune a little bit. Yeah. Well, that, like, yeah, it's classic my mum finds funny images yeah. to sort of say how she's feeling. She did down her pint of squash, didn't
oh,
she, off the Challenger Centre.
I'm said disappointed.
She did, I, me too. Well, she said squash. I think she's lying. but, yeah, I think they have... And this is quite nice. We mentioned on the last podcast, mum and dad, I didn't know they did this until they mentioned to me, but they Tuesday they listened together.
Yeah.
And I think, again, you know, we hope to stoke conversation. It's not like an yeah. ego thing of saying, well, you should do this. But if you've got friends or family, you know, just say, oh, tonight... A pot. If you're a listener and you know someone who doesn't listen to it, why not invite someone to say, come and have a listen yeah. with me? You know,
have like, a listen along party.
Listen along, yeah. like, and just talk. You yeah. know, talk about the subjects being talked about. I know for a lot of people, listen to podcasts as escapism
yeah.
or to learn something. We always try and think we bring a bit of all of that, but talk. It's funny, I went to watch Oppenheimer last week, this week, sorry, on Tuesday with Grant and Dan, friends of mine, and I gave Grant a lift, and on the way back out, we were just talking for ages about
yeah.
it ended up we ended up talking about the impact of where the world is today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and off the back of it all started with nuclear power, because then people realised, well, at the click of a button, we've almost all got a gun to each other, haven't we? And when yeah. you press that, we press it. But the impact as well on society of that, we all sit there and think, like, right, okay, we're constantly being made to feel scared, aren't we, of our yeah. fellow man. You don't know it, but say you watch the Western press and it's people who are Muslim, for example, and you think that's bad, right? Oh God, I don't believe in what they do, because you've only seen it through the lens of the Western media. Yeah. The best, your best mate in the world could be located in Iraq, Jimmy, because you've got shared interest. That we're made to fit. But the last bit, and then Grant went, God, this got heavy. And I was from the walk from the cinema to the car.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes, we covered so much ground. But he said, these conversations are really important. You know, we talk about opinion. We don't have to agree with everything we're saying.
No.
But we start to talk about things that matter.
And it's talking rationally when you don't agree with people as well. You know, it's not flying off the handle. You know, it's very much being level-headed. You know, with politics, you know, stuff we talk about, it's like difference of opinions. But it's not getting defensive of your opinion. It's more, right, I can hear what you're saying, but this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where... It reduces conflict.
It does.
Essentially, it really reduces conflict, say, and stuff.
You're doing it different to what the world leaders are doing.
Exactly.
You know, when they cause conflict, they choose words very carefully, don't they, to send a message. But actually, all we could do... And then we ended up talking about, like, the Yes Cymru movement and, like, how that's grown. And we were sat in the car talking away about it and saying pluses and minuses. You know, like, if, well, at the moment they've got, for me... I'm interested in hearing about what Wales could do. I believe in my country, right? But I was like, they've got a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah.
You know, like, because people, at the moment, if you did anything, it's like the Scottish vote, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You'll have people definitely will vote one way and definitely vote the other way, no matter what.
Yeah.
The middle ground are the ones here, so you've got to win the middle ground. Because if there's any form of, like, well, actually, that's unanswered, I'm going to stay put.
Yeah.
They might believe in a lot of the notions. So that's where, through conversation, you say, well, this is what we... And be clear. This will be a struggle. One year, we're going to struggle in this element.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to need
and
to...
And then you'll be prepared for the struggle.
Exactly.
People will be ready for the struggle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think, from actually Northern Ireland point, I just want to shout out Nathan Moss as well.
Yeah.
Because his dad served. And I never knew that about Nathan. And growing up, I knew his dad, Darren, very well. We used to hang around together. So I am going to... ask Nate a bit more about that.
Yeah.
Because he sent me a picture of his dad in full gear.
Yeah, you sent it over.
You know, in Northern Ireland, which was pretty incredible to see. He left school and went straight into the army, and then his first post in pretty much
over
was
there,
Northern Ireland, which we talked about on the pod last week. If you haven't listened, go back or watch the documentary as well. For both sides, it must have been Because, you know, people like have thoughts about the army, don't they? About people who are joining the army, they fight other people's war, whatever. But that's what they've joined, they've chosen to do that. That's the job they've chosen. You see it in schools, don't you? Like, a lot of... I was at Risk of Gym before, and, like, they had a recruiting day where they had different stalls. And the army come to places like this, don't they?
Yeah.
So kids feel disillusioned. Well, A, they do. They give them a good job.
Yeah.
They come out with probably qualifications, whether it's engineering, whatever, see a bit of the world.
Yeah.
But the ultimate thing is that you're sacrificing as well.
Yeah, but then there's also, you know, there's a big issue that veterans not getting the support they need afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you do notice a lot, if you walk, you know, if you walk Cardiff, Newport, there's people who are ex-veterans or who are veterans living on the streets. You know, there's a lot of... There's a big call out for support.
Yeah.
You know, that they, especially with stuff they've experienced. And then again, you know, with myself, I've worked with a number of veterans who just can't cope with
the PTSD.
It's not, you know, they, you know, and that's obviously, and I mentioned it before, the Body Knows the Score, but that's, that all came from Vietnam veterans. You know, it was all built from their experience and how they hold trauma, you know, and how it's, that's not a lot of support.
They're doing their job, and I think, like, you know, don't get me wrong, you can have your own, you can have your opinion on either side. I know how I feel. I probably held back. We had to keep it down the line with Northern Ireland because we know some people listen from Ireland, and, like, you know, we try and keep it balanced. But I think for the people like the army, the veterans, it's such a hard one. And every year you have the poppy appeal, don't you? And that's starting to cause divide, because some people choose to wear white flowers, don't they, which is more about peace, but then some people take offence to that because it's like, well, it's meant to support the veterans.
I'm pretty sure there's purple for dogs.
Is there?
Well, for animals. I'm pretty sure there's one for animals which is like, I mean, that's basically a neutral territory, isn't it?
Well,
it's almost like a neutral territory then, you know, just waiting for the pet. But yeah,
and it's funny, I always used to buy a poppy. Right, and then last year's I haven't. And I don't know what it is. Not actively going out the way to not buy one. But I think at heart, I'm a pacifist.
Yeah.
I support people who've been affected by the war. And if I can help. Or there used to be a guy who was ex-veteran when I worked in Cardiff.
Yeah.
So buy him breakfast and talk to him. So I'm like, very intelligent.
Yeah.
Came back alcoholic and lost his family.
Yeah.
And lives on the streets.
And that's the impact of
conflict
sometimes.
Trauma as well, Well, a friend of mine who I played football with was in the army. Lost a colleague because when they were in, I think it was Iraq doing their tour, it was Afghanistan, one or the other, they were in a convoy, a vehicle in front blew up, went over the line, and he was behind.
Yeah, but that's another one I want to watch, is they've got the same with what they did in Northern Ireland about Iraq.
Once upon a time in Iraq. Yeah, we should watch that one.
Yeah.
Because we've got the Khaled Hosseini books and stuff we can link in, which would be an interesting part.
Yeah, interesting watching that, but then also, recently going to New York, so I've seen other elements, other sides, you know, so it would be, see, this is the great thing about these sort of breaks, is that you don't know what you're going to talk about,
and Western
being open is talking about it,
and Western and Eastern, like, perceptions of life is very different,
and death
I know, you can only get you can only get it as well through reading more.
Yeah,
you know, like, I'm reading a book, A Gentleman in Moscow. It's at the time where they've had the revolution, and he's a count, this guy, just from his perspective, but he's been confined to a hotel.
Sorry, Mr. Cook.
I don't... County. But, like, you learn then that, like, a lot of the Russians and the Communist Party were, like, it was for the worker and making, flattening everything, so they weren't levels of class.
Mm.
But then over time... The people at the top of the Communist Party, they wanted the luxuries.
Yeah.
You know, and they actually actively studied Western life. So, like, obviously they were fascinated by, like, America.
Mm.
But I was so concerned with working class, any class.
Yeah.
But people wanting better things, they wanted things. You go to the Middle East, it's different again. Where things and material stuff is not important to them as much.
No. And that's
it's
a big
family,
thing. I think we just... Yeah, we've just gone
past the Middle East,
gone past Eid.
Yeah,
You know, and a lot of the thing with Eid, and when you look at Islamic faith, is about giving to others.
Yeah,
giving things to others. You know, and it's really like I might be wrong, but I want to say during Ramadan, you have to do one almost act of kindness.
Okay.
Each time, so you, you know, it's something they live by each day. They have to do an act of kindness, you know, and those sort of things. But
and that's why talking more helps, because we can take things. There's things that we do in our society that are very good, right? And it's things that they, it's not having to polarize it. Oh, well, I wouldn't do that because that's the Muslim faith.
Or yeah.
That, you know, that's like Islam. That's Buddhism, or whatever. You just take, you don't have to be religious, but you say, actually, I respect that part of it.
So I know, like, when me and Charlotte landed in New York, and we had a taxi driver, he's Islamic faith, he's open about it, and he gave us sort of each a bottle of water, and I just started talking, I said, well, is that you, I don't know the word of it, but is that you doing your act of kindness, you know, and then we just got that conversation then, you know, and just talking about how faith works, how he is in New York as well,
because there's still
prejudice and those sort of things. But yeah, talking about books, you know, so I've read the one on Auschwitz, about the people who escaped. Yeah. But again, with class and stuff, and the capos, you know, and how people expected them to be certain class of people, but actually it was, you just had to rise to power, you had to have the intellectual side and that bit, and that kind of made me dive a bit more into Germany, so I got your book about, and I never thought about it, about the effect of drugs
on the Nazi party,
drugs within the Nazi party, but they're not necessarily also the Nazi party. I wonder with the British,
we don't know,
but and that's where reading is great, because it does open conversations. That you book, find out a lot more,
you find
things.
Out loads. Norman all of that book, by the way, I've lent again, is Blitz, it's called Blitzed. Yeah. But the picture on the front, I think a lot of people would have seen it, Hitler, but he looks a bit out of it, doesn't he?
Reading it, I'm like, I can see all of this.
Yeah.
I see all of it. But then I can't remember the name of the book, the Auschwitz one, but it follows the two, basically the first two people to escape.
Yeah.
And how they did it. But then for me, from walking around Auschwitz to picturing it, but then it's interesting afterwards, with the trauma they experience, how much you don't like them.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, the second part of the book, I really didn't like these two people, because they just felt, I don't know what the effect was, but it's like, well, we need our voice heard. Why aren't things happening straight away?
Yeah.
They want it done there, they want it done now. They've experienced the trauma, they're like, well, we need to stop it. But it's like, you can't just stop it straight away.
No.
There needs to be a process. And that takes you back to the episode of Band of Brothers, where they go into a concentration camp and they've got loads of food, but the soldiers are told to only give out a little
bit
because their stomachs won't be able to cope with it. And it is, it's the whole concept of trying to run before you can walk.
And
in life, we have that quite a lot.
It's funny you said about not liking it, or like getting to get frustrated with these two characters. Mouse, the thing where dad.
Yeah, basically, you lend that to me as well.
Yeah.
That was a pod challenge.
Mouse is, so for anyone, everyone should read this.
Yeah.
Because basically,
it's
Art Spielman, or Spiegelman or something. Anyway, he is a famous.
Spielman, I think, it's Playman. I think it's Spielman. Yeah.
And he basically makes a comic all about conversations with his father.
Yeah.
About his father's experience of basically being a Polish Jew, isn't it? And then he ends up getting captured, doesn't he, again, separated from his family. It's really harrowing, as it always is when you read this stuff. But he does it in a really interesting form. He does it in a comic book. And you can read it in like a week, less than that.
Basically two days, I think. Yeah.
But the images he does is like the Polish army of pigs.
Mm.
Not like how we see, like over your pigs, people think police sometimes, and that's like a very common, but it's just the Polish army in there are pigs, the Germans are cats, is it?
Yes.
And the Jews are mouse, are mice, but that's why it's called mouse. And so it's almost like it's him and his dad having a conversation, and then he's obviously made it, so that'll be like just two men, then it'll go into like his father's memory, and then he'll characterize them as cats, mouse, pigs, and stuff like that. I think the American GIs, when they come at the end of dogs or something like that. But his father is really, the point I was going to get to, sorry, his father's really frustrated, isn't he? Because his son wants to learn more and wants to understand. But his father's experiences make him a very hard man.
Yeah.
So even when he's got money to do things, he won't spend it.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything's about, we repair. And he said, Dad, I can just get you something. I don't want it. Like, you know, I'll do it myself. But that's the psychological impact of what his father went through. But I did find myself at times, even then, getting frustrated with his father.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about well-written books.
Mm.
Like, when I was reading like that one, because so it was written by a guy who normally writes thrillers.
Ah, okay.
So the way he described the escape and everything, like, it's true to life.
Yeah.
But then, if you can get annoyed with a character in a book, that's a well-written
book. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same, you know, in a film. Like, if you don't like someone in a film, they have acted
that
perfectly. They've done well, you know, and that is... It's a skill, you know, it's a skill to be able to portray that.
And you just made me think, while we're on literature, because this was born out of book club, wasn't it? But George Orwell, Keep the Aspidistra Flying.
Okay.
Is a very good book from his. So, about a writer. You can almost see him putting his own experiences into this book. But he is super frustrated.
Yeah.
And he's the main character. Right? So you have to follow him around.
Yeah.
But you want to know. You want to more. And as is always with George Orwell, there's not always a lot of light.
Mm.
You know, it is about this guy's thoughts.
Yeah.
It's about an aspiring writer, basically. I won't say any more, because people should read it.
I might read that then.
Yeah, yeah. I'll lend it to you.
You're basically in my library, aren't you?
I am. But that's where you, again, where you talk about like being a good book. And then recently, to link books to films,
yeah,
they've recently put the famous film version 1984
they have
onto Amazon Prime.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it, I mean, that's a pod challenge. Sorry, I'm getting distracted because someone's just walked in with a CGBG.
Are they?
Vest on, so that. Oh, wow, there we go.
Country someone knows that some
blues.
Music. Yeah. CGBs.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a pod challenge for you all. If you haven't watched 1984, if you haven't read it.
Oh, my God, you should. I give it to my mum, she couldn't believe it.
Yeah, please read it, because especially what we're going through now, it will blow your mind. That was written...
1950-something,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it was very... Yeah.
He finished it just before he died, didn't he, basically? So you didn't see him back
Yeah, because he was... Yeah, yeah, but... What's a coffee
catch-up?
Have
we given him
enough? Yeah, I mean, we were going to do something fun and light high, but, you know...
I hope it just shows the fact... This is almost like how me and Bryn would talk if the phone was not low.
Apart from FIFA.
We do sometimes think of FIFA where we just make funny noises. Yeah. We have talked about recording us playing FIFA, but we don't know if we could put it out.
No, we're not sure, but we... yeah, depends if we can get a guest on, maybe. If we can get Kevin Ellis on, sent on.
Kevin? When we score a worldie, we run around the living room.
Yeah.
Naked. That's a nice image to leave. So till next time, it's far from me.
It's far from him.